If you have your Bibles this morning, we invite you to turn with us to this book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. We'll stop reading there. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the privilege that you've allowed us today to be in your house. We thank you for speaking to our hearts once more this week, sharing with us your message. Now, Father, I pray you would equip us by the power of the Holy Ghost to take that message you've given us and share it with all these that are gathered. Father, I pray that this message would find a lodging spot in hearts. God, it would cause growth. It would cause a stirring. I pray, God, you would help us today. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Simon Peter, according to verse number 15, he says, I endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. He wants to make sure that after he's dead and gone, that folks remember, verse 17, how Jesus received from God the Father honor and glory. Peter said, I want you to remember, after I'm dead and gone, when you walk by my casket, I don't want you to remember that I was the one that preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 got saved. That's not important. I don't want you to remember that I was the one that Jesus asked to walk on the water, and I did for just a little bit. I don't want you to remember that it was me that God sent an angel to and opened up the prison gate and I walked right out of the prison cell. Those things all happen, but that's not what I want you to remember when you pass by my casket, when you walk by my grave, when you see my tombstone. This is what I want you to remember. I want you to remember the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how he's blessed. Well, I say this morning, you and I would do well if we would behold the glory of our Savior. It is amazing nowadays at how busy we get and how little we turn to the Word of God and how little we are committed to the things of God anymore. We're committed to this world and our schedules and everything else. It is a crying, picking shame what's going on today in our society. Simon Peter says, I want you to remember the glory of the Lord. I thought about Moses. You remember Moses when he went up on top of the mountain there and he was getting the word of God from the Lord. And while he was gone, the Lord said, you better get out of here. There's a noise of war in the camp. And Moses came down and they were dancing and frolicking and they were naked. And Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? Boy, there's a message that the men of God won't preach anymore. Who is on the Lord's side? And I want you to know, Moses got discouraged and he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, I want you to show me thy glory. And God said, there's a place by me. It's upon a rock that you're going to stand. And as my glory passes you by, I'm going to hide you with my hand in the cleft of the rock and you'll see my hinder parts as I pass by. Praise God. Moses, in a time of weariness, in a time of distress, in a time of discouragement, he saw the glory of God. I'm telling you this morning, I want to behold his glory, don't you? The glory of the only begotten of the Father. Thought about Solomon.
Solomon had spent years in working on the temple. And when he finally got to the point of dedication, he began to pray and seek the face of God and said, "Oh God, we dedicate this temple to you." The glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, fell on that place in such power in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 14, that the ministers couldn't even stand to minister because the glory of God had fallen on that place. And it happened when Solomon was discouraged, when he was weary, and when he was tired. I thought about Isaiah in chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He looked and he saw those seraphims flying about, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Amen. Praise God. The Bible says that the earth belongs to him and is full of his glory. It was when Isaiah was weary and tired when he saw the glory of God fall. Hey, I want to see the glory of God, don't you? I'll admit I'm a candidate for it. I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm discouraged. I'm downtrodden. Can I get a witness? It's about where you are this morning. We need to behold the glory of Jesus Christ. Quit looking at our problems. Quit looking at our distractions and behold the glory of the Lord. Preacher Darren, where am I going to find that glory? I'm glad you asked me. I'm going to tell you where you won't find it. You're not going to find it in a modernistic crowd. And you're not going to find it in a crowd that's a bunch of legalists either. It's all these rules and regulations. Oh no. You'll find the Lord in some certain places. And I believe Simon Peter was saying, we have a more sure word of prophecy, the word of God. It'll declare his glory. Boy, I got through searching through these pages this week. Lord, I'm discouraged. Just give me a little nugget. Share with me your glory. And he said, I'm going to give you seven places where you'll behold his glory. Number one, you'll find it in a cradle. When the glory of God, Jesus Christ, left the splendor of heaven and he came down to this sin-cursed earth, amen, born of a virgin, born there in that little old place called Bethlehem. Hey, the Bible says that there was a multitude of the heavenly host and they appeared and this is what they said, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Didn't he say in the book of John, chapter 1 and verse number 14, the word was flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hey, you remember old Simeon, how he had been waiting. It had been shown to him that he would not be able to leave this world until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when they came in to dedicate that baby that had been born there and laid in that little old cradle, hey, the man of God, Simeon, picked that boy up and he said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He is a light to the Gentiles, and he's the glory of the people of Israel." I say praise God that he sent the glory to us in a cradle. Look at this verse here. It's found over here in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. 1 Timothy 3:16. The scripture says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory." Praise God! You want to find the glory of the Lord? You'll find it in that little cradle. Where else will you find it? Number two, you'll find it in a Christian. Boy, it got quiet when I said that, didn't it? He said in Psalm chapter number 21 and in verse number 5, he said, "His glory is great in thy salvation." You remember that day you got saved? I remember that Thursday night when the power of God swept through my soul, brought sweet conviction, amen. I ran down to an old-fashioned altar, had called on the name of Jesus, and glory filled my soul. Man, I run on that for days. The glory of God had appeared unto me, amen. Hey, you know what's wrong with most of our churches nowadays? Our Christians has forgot the glory. We've lost the glory, amen. And it's such an absolute shame. Amen. I remember used to, you'd get around the people of God. They'd come in. You could, little old boy would sit there on the porch and people pull up in the parking lot and they had the glory on them. When they got in the prayer room, the glory fell, amen, in the prayer room. We had to wait till the service was over, amen, to try to talk about if we had any glory or not. It started before we ever got there good, amen, because people came with glory on them. Let me tell you what, old Moses, he went up on the mountain again. And he was up there for 40 days. He got the law of God. And when he came back down, after he was a good old man of God, when he came back down from being with the Lord, the Bible said his face shone. The glory of the Lord was upon him. The Bible said the people was afraid of him so much that they had to put a veil over his face. When's the last time you got around a Christian and you had to veil their face because you couldn't stand to get around the glory they had on them? I want to be around a few like that, but they're coming far and fewer between trying to find them, amen. I'm talking about God's people who have bona fide want the glory of God in their life, the glory of God in their church, the glory of God in their worship. Moses had to wear a veil. The glory, you could tell Moses had been with the Lord, amen. I want to tell you, the night God been calling me to preach for about a year, the night I went down to that old-fashioned altar and I run to the white flag of surrender, boy, I'm telling you, God broke in on my soul. I was more under conviction about preaching than I was about being saved. Because when I got saved, I was lost. And I didn't exactly know what I was doing. But when he called me to preach, I saved. And I knew his voice. And I knew what I needed to do. And I'd been running, been trying to get it nailed down just right. But the night I wrote that white flag of surrender, and when I stood up and told the church, God has called me to preach, and I have surrendered to his will for my life, and begin to share with them what God is doing right there. We had an old boy hit the altar and got saved, amen, that very first time I stood up. There's a little lady came to me, was a preacher's wife, and said, I don't take drugs, I'm not hallucinating, but from the time you stepped out of your pew, there was something that surrounded you and went with you to that altar. And when you stood up, it was around you when you stood. You know what it was? It was the glory of God. Hey, the glory of God needs to be on our lives like it once was. You may say, preacher, it's absolutely impossible for me to get the glory of God on me. I say to you, it is not impossible. In fact, it ought to be your ambition. It ought to be the desire of your heart that the glory of God would be found upon your life. Listen, I'd rather stand at this back door and you spit in my face and say I'll never hear you preach again as lose the glory of God. Amen. When Eli, the man of God, died, when his two boys, Hophni and Phinehas, when they died, hear me, one of them women had a baby, and when she heard the Ark of the Covenant was taken and the men of God had been taken away, she named that boy Ichabod, which means the glory of God or the glory of the Lord has departed. Boy, I could go to a lot of churches this morning and I could tell you that there used to be glory there. The power of God rested in that place. I'm telling you, you could have dropped a hat and people would run the aisle shouting praising God. But you go into a lot of churches nowadays and they are so cold that if you tried to milk a cow, it'd be frozen ice cream by the time you got it, because their churches have become so cold and carnal and the glory of God does not rest on them anymore. I'm telling you, I am fighting with all I know to fight with that the glory of God would stay in this place. And if you don't help me, if you don't get behind it, if you don't get underneath it, if you don't pray over it, the glory of God will depart. And we'll sit around this place and we'll talk about what used to be. I'm tired of going to places where they talk about what used to be. Hey, God is a very present God, and he's a very present help in the time of trouble. And we need the glory of God on our churches. Do you see all these young people singing this morning? They need to see the glory of God in your life. They need to see the glory of God fall on this pulpit. And God has saved souls and bless amongst his people again. You see the glory of God in the cradle, the glory of God in the Christian. What about the cross? Oh, churches nowadays don't want to preach the cross anymore. This is what Paul said in Galatians 6:14. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we ought to glory in the cross. You ought not to glory in your and the things that you've accomplished and the things that you've done. The only thing we've come here today is do is glory in what Jesus has done. Glory in the cross of Calvary where Jesus gave his life. You remember there in the book of Luke chapter 9 how the Lord Jesus Christ took Peter, James, and John upon the Mount of Transfiguration, and as Jesus was praying, he was transfigured before them. And the Bible says that Peter, James, and John looked, and Moses and Elijah appeared. And you know what they're doing? They appeared in glory. And only Luke says they saw Jesus in his glory. And they was talking to Jesus about his decease. They were glorying in his cross. He was going to die for the sins of the world. Every law and every prophet, everything depended on the fulfillment of Jesus going to that old-fashioned cross. I'm glad we still have a church that'll preach the cross. There's still teachers who teach the cross. There's still Christians who worship at the foot of the cross. We need to get back to glory in the old cross of Calvary. Bless his holy name. Number four, you know where else you can find glory? You can find glory in the church. Oh, yes, you can find glory in the church. And you go in a lot of places and that glory's gone. But you read the book of Revelations chapter 1. Jesus, the Bible says, unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever. He is the glory. And in Revelations chapter 1, he was walking amongst the candlesticks. The candlesticks represents the church. Hey, hallelujah. He, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered my name, there am I in the midst. He is the glory in the church. He walks up and down these aisleways and through these pews. He is the glory in the church. I begin to think about Moses. Hey, he saw that bush that was set on fire but not consumed. It was set on fire with the glory of God. Hey, our churches need to have the glory of God in them again. It's not something you can manufacture. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ. Well, some people say, Preacher Darren, I believe the church is going down. Let me tell you something, honey. The church ain't going down. The church is going up. It's just all matter how you see it, amen. I see the word of God and the church is going up. Unto him be the glory in the church through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, what was prophesied about the church in the book of Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness cover the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee and his glory shall be seen on thee. Church, I want to tell you something. There's still glory in the church. Number five, what about the conquering of death? What do you mean the conquering of death? One morning, when it looked like hell had won, when it looked like the grave had Jesus forever held, when it looked like there was no hope, when it looked like we were discouraged, when it looked like we were defeated, when it looked like we were weary and downtrodden, one morning, up from the grave, he arose. He said, behold, I was dead, and I am alive forevermore. Hey, he conquered death. We went looking at a house one time. We was thinking about buying a house. My family was looking, and my daughter got stung, put her hand in the windowsill, and she got stung. And I thought, this is not the place for us because she got stung. We went to another house, and sure enough, there was another bee. Boy, I pinned that bee back. I got him. Listen, he was an old bee, but I pinned him back, got him by his wings, took his little stinger, pulled that thing loose. My daughter started backing up. I said, honey, you don't have to be afraid of that. I took his stinger off. I praise God. Jesus took old death that we was afraid of, that was looking to sting us, looking to hurt us, backed him up in the corner. Old man death backed him up in the corner, said, I got power over you, plucked his stinger off and said, look, his stinger's gone. You've got nothing to fear anymore. I've conquered the grave. I've conquered death. Hey, there's glory in the conquering of death. Hey, death may come to your family. You may be downtrodden this morning. You may feel real sad about it, and we pray for you. But there's comfort, in fact, in knowing that there's glory in it because Jesus has conquered death, and he has your loved one with him now if they've trusted him. I got something to shout about this morning. I wish you'd help me, amen. Number six, what else, Preacher Darren, there's glory in? It's in the Word of God. How about the coming of the Lord? There's glory in that. One day, hallelujah, he's going to step out on the cloud. He's going to hear the Father say, son, go get your bride. Bring home, my children. A trump's going to sound. He's going to say, come up hither. Woo! We're going to lose our gravitational hold. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them. 7 years we're going to be with the Lord in heaven. Going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. Going to be the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, we're going to have a time there. On earth, chaos. On earth, the Antichrist is in power. There'll be more trouble than this world has ever seen. After 7 years, the Lord's going to come back. Luke 21:27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Amen. When Jesus comes, he's coming in glory. And you know what? The armies that are in heaven that are clothed in white linen, they're going to come right behind him. Preacher Darren, who's them armies? Is that the angels? Nope. Who is it clothed in linen? It's the righteousness of the saints of God, the very bride of Christ Almighty. And we're going to come riding right behind him. When he comes back to this earth and defeats the old Antichrist and the false prophet and throws him in the lake of fire, and he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years upon this earth. And after 1,000 years, the devil will be released. And the Lord's going to defeat him with the glory of the sword of his mouth. And every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. And the devil will be cast in a lake of fire. I want to say there's glory in the second coming of Christ. Are you ready? Well, I tell you what, they tell me the war on the mind and the things that's going on in churches with discouragement and defeatism and selfishness and a lack of commitment. The Bible says that before the Lord comes, there'll be a great falling away. I want to say this and see if I can get a witness. You're experiencing a great falling away yourself. You say, preacher, it's unimaginable. I would have never thought that I would be this uncommitted to the things of God. I never thought I'd be so busy in other areas of my life. I never thought that I would give as little time to the Word of God as I now do. I never thought that I'd be as little conscious of my prayer time and my worship time as I now am. It's happening to you. Yes, sir, I said you. And yes, ma'am, it's happening to you. And you know why? There's a battle on. Because the Lord's getting ready to come back, and the devil and this world in the flesh is fighting for your attention. Hey, I say polish the buttons. Get ready, because Jesus is coming to get us. And what a glorious moment that's going to be when he takes us out of here. Number 7, and I'll be done, and you'll say hallelujah. Number 7, there's glory in Coronation Day. First time he came, they crowned him with thorns. But the next time he comes, they're going to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They're going to get the royal diadem, and they're going to crown him. Oh, what a day of glory. Listen to what Isaiah said about this day. He said, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty. Oh, what a day. Hear me. Friend, I'm going to tell you, there's glory. There's glory in that old cradle. There's glory ought to be in the Christian. There's glory ought to be in the church. There's glory that's in the cross, amen. I say hallelujah! There's glory to be had. Peter said, when I die, when my decease comes, and the word for decease is the word Exodus. In other words, it's not over. I'm just moving on. I'm getting out of Dodge, and I'm going to a city called glory. And he said, while I'm there, and you walk by my casket, and you walk by my tombstone, and you see my grave, don't you think, well, there's the guy that preached when 3,000 got saved. There's a guy that walked on water. Wow, that's wonderful. There's a guy that the angel smote on the side, and the chains fell off, and I walked out in the street free as a bird, and Herod blew his mind. Don't you remember any of them things? I only want you to remember one thing. I want you to remember how Jesus received honor and glory from the Father. And he said, I was on the mountain and I saw it. I saw the glory of God fall on his life. Boy, I've been around some of y'all. I have seen the glory of God fall on some of y'all. Don't you want it to fall again? Don't you want the glory to fall again? Oh, God Send the glory back upon your people. Send the glory back on the church. Send the glory back on the Christian. Help us to preach the cross. Amen. You stand to your feet. And someone come to the piano. I like what David wrote. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in the sanctuary. I wonder, Mom. I wonder, Dad. Do you want the glory of God in your home? Do you want your children to see Mom and Dad praying? Mom and Dad reading the Word of God. Mom and Dad taking them children faithful to the house of God. Oh, that God's glory would fall in our homes once more. Folks are moving. Do you need to come? Thank God for the glory. Beg God that it continues. Pray God it falls again. Folks are still coming. Would you mind him? It's very important today. Oh, if you're here and you've never been saved, hey, the glory will fall on you if you'll just let him save you this morning. God will do a work in your life. You're begging for the glory. Folks still coming. What do you need to do? Oh, Preacher Darren, I want the glory of God. I need it so desperately. Folks still coming. Folks still coming. Father, how I praise you for the word of God this morning and for the truths. Lord, the glory of God is all through the scriptures. God, help us to realize this morning how desperately we need your glory. God, we don't need to behold the temperature setting in the church. We don't need to behold what's wrong here and what's missing there and why we can't do this and why we can't commit there. God, I pray you'd help us to put our eyes, our focus, to behold the glory of God as it falls amongst your people. Oh God, we live for it. We crave it. We desire it in the midst of a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Oh God, would you give us your glory?